We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
I don't have enough words to describe what David means to baseball, but I'm so disappointed in how someone after his life. I'm sorry. It hurts me.
Dale Arnold.
Hey, look, everybody. Kevin's back.
Durant slipping. Durant goes down holding his leg.
I'm just devastated for Kevin.
Rich Keefe.
That's going to be exciting. Obviously, someone's going to win the Stanley Cup. We're not going to get caught up in the excitement about it.
Dale and Keefe.
This is like, it, boys. Yeah. Like,
did you just say this is it, boys?
Yeah, like there's no holding back.
This is it. Come on, boys. Let's go, boys.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. I like Jason Rossi channeling his inner Torontonian.
You like Hockey Talk Rossi?
Boys. Let's go, boys.
Is Hockey Talk Rossi your favorite Rossi?
It's one of them.
That's like, this is it. That's like...
This is it, boys.
Yeah, like when Super Bowls, this is it, boys. Like you gotta...
This is it, boys.
You got no room for mistakes. You got no room not to bring your A game every day.
Kind of nervous Rossi, too, I think.
I think the Avengers would have failed if they had Rossi giving them the speech.
I agree.
But the movie would have been better.
Oh, you are such an idiot. He has troll takes now. Rossi's turned into a troll. He's an internet troll.
You know, that's a third person today that has called me a troll.
Yeah, because
I'm not a troll.
Right. If it walks like a troll and talks like a troll and tweets like a troll, it's a troll.
The only thing I do is smell like a troll.
Well, that's true.
Did you guys see the, speaking of trolls, did you see the takedown of the troll? It was on Twitter yesterday.
Zab Judah?
Yeah, there's this guy who works in like, it looks like a shoe store or something, a clothing store.
Yeah.
And he's an internet troll, a Twitter troll.
Yeah.
Who was taking down Zab Judah.
Yeah,
and basically
like
saying, you're washed up, I could beat you.
Yeah.
So Zab Judah showed up at the shop, said, you and me, outside,
that
5 minutes.
That guy had a little bit of a different tune
did
after that.
Did you see the look on his face? It was like, whoa.
Well, he soiled his pants, and he
easily.
Didn't know what to do. Luckily, he was in a clothing store, so he could change.
Get a new pair.
That was pretty funny. Zab Judah going around. That was great. Just going to all the guys that called him out.
For everyone out there who's ever been affected by a Twitter troll, you saw this and went, okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay
with this.
That's
hilarious.
And the look on this guy's face, because the first two guys who came in, he didn't know who they were.
And they're like, yeah. And
even he didn't know them.
And even then, he was like a little intimidated.
But then all of a sudden,
Judah comes walking
Judah comes through the door, and you and me outside 5 minutes.
No, I didn't mean that. Like, oh, okay, then why'd you tweet it? I didn't mean it.
So the Bruins and St. Louis Blues will play for the Cup tomorrow night at the TD Garden. The Bruins will be on the ice for practice at the Garden here in just a little bit. It's kind of an interesting situation, I think, for Coach Bruce Cassidy. He could make one change. Well, he could make a couple, but I think there's only one that's even possible.
Okay.
I don't think you're going to reinsert David Backes into the lineup. You're going to leave Carson Kuhlman there.
I think you're right.
I think you're not going to mess around with the forward lines from what you played in Game 6.
Mm-hmm.
He, yesterday, when he met with the media, said Matt Grizzlick is a bit of a wild card. He's the guy who desperately tried to clear the concussion protocol for Game 5 and Game 6.
Yeah, I heard he was cleared.
Well, maybe
I heard
not.
That.
Yeah, I know. I heard
on
it
on the
too.
Radio.
So you know, he is a possibility. Now the question becomes, if he did clear the protocol, if the doctors and the NHL and everybody says, okay, he's good to go, if you're Bruce Cassidy, do you make that one change? Do you put Grizzlick back in? That would be at the expense, presumably, of John Moore.
I don't. And I think because John Moore played really well last game, he was one of the big reasons why the penalty
really
kill
well.
Was
Absolutely.
So good. He played over 4 minutes shorthanded. He was great. And I wouldn't change anything from last game. Now, Cassidy has hit all the right buttons. So if Cassidy really feels like he wants to go with Grizzlick, you know what? You might have to trust him.
Yeah.
But me personally, I wouldn't do it. I would bring everybody back. And I know Wagner's trying to get back, but sorry. Like, the guys that played last game were great. I'm keeping those guys out there. Grizzlick hasn't played in a little while now. And if you're just going to drop him in a Game 7 of the Cup Final, and it's not like you had to go with, Wiggy's guy, Oral Duncan Hyman, or even, like, Kampfer for a game.
Right.
I thought Moore was pretty good. And I thought he earned playing in another game. So... You don't have to make any, as far as we know, all the guys that played last game, all left game six healthy.
Oh, no,
so
he
had, I'm trotting them all back in game
Bruce,
seven.
And I know it's the lying season, but Bruce Cassidy said yesterday, no issues to report coming out of game six. Everybody's fine. They're all available. So he could go back to the exact same lineup without any problems at all.
Right.
From a physical perspective, he could bring the same, you know, 18 skaters and two goaltenders back. But he brought up the possibility that Grizzly could be a wild card.
Yeah. Or old Duncan Hyman.
I think he's, like, I like Grizzly. I thought it was a big loss when he went down.
Absolutely.
You want him on there. But the fact that Chara proved that he can play over 20 minutes.
Yep.
I thought Chara was a lot better in game six than he was in game five. So that's confident. And obviously they only went with six defensemen last game instead of the seven. So you feel pretty good about Chara. Carlo and McAvoy have played well. And I was impressed by what John Moore had. So I wouldn't want to make that switch. Plus, let's face it, something's going on with Grizzly. If we thought he was going to get cleared and he didn't.
Grizzly has been cleared and he is going to play.
Well, that didn't happen.
That was
twice.
Game five, yeah.
Right, so then they bring him to St. Louis, so I think the team is probably anticipating he's going to pass the concussion protocol. He still doesn't. So we don't even know if he has to this point.
No, we don't know.
He's got another day, I guess. But let's say he...
They did not practice yesterday.
Right.
He certainly could have been given the concussion protocol yesterday by the doctors.
So tomorrow will be the two-week anniversary of him suffering that concussion. 2 weeks ago, tomorrow. And... Now you're just going to throw him into a game seven. How is he going to be? And then all of a sudden, let's say he can't play. What does he normally play? 15 or 16, 17 minutes?
He's
something
your
like that.
Second pair defenseman.
So he's a guy that I don't know. I trust the guys that were there last game. And I know momentum hasn't always been there. We've seen teams look really good one game and then not so much the next game, but I like what those guys brought to the table. And he talks about him as a wild card. And I agree. He's also a wild card in if you start him, how long is he going to be able to stay out there? And oh, by the way, you don't think St. Louis is going to be hitting him in the head the whole time?
You saw them punch Zdeno Chara in the chin.
Correct. And it's easier to get away with hitting Grizzly in the head. You know, Grizzly, who is, what, 5'9 compared to 6'9. So it doesn't even look as egregious if you are Sundqvist or if you're one of these guys and you throw hands up by his head and now all of a sudden you're down to five defensemen. And what has been one of the real keys to the Blues? Two of their wins this series came when there was only five defensemen on the ice.
There is certainly the possibility, and I think that Chris Wagner, he's already been cleared. Theoretically, you could insert him into the lineup. I don't think you'd do anything to the fourth line. I wouldn't mess with it.
No, they've been too good.
The argument you could make, I don't agree with it, but I'll hear it, is that you could put him in place of Heinen. Now, I think that overlooks some of the things that Heinen does that doesn't show up on the score sheet.
Yeah, that one, you're right. That one I wouldn't be too bothered by because Wagner has done some pretty good things when he's been given the chance, but still, I would probably roll with the same group. And I was a big proponent of getting Backes in there, but I think they proved just try to outskill them. You know, don't retaliate some of the cheap shots that they're going to give you.
And they're going to give you.
They are.
With no repercussions to serve, you know, go ahead, suspend me. I'll serve it next October.
Well, and that's the other
thing. They're going to go nuts.
And that's why the refs, again, they've been such a big story throughout the entire postseason. In game six, they were good. We didn't really talk about them much, which is what you want to do. But it's so important that they don't just wait and let the league look at it because you can't do that. That doesn't matter. Nobody's going to care about if some idiot on the Blues has to miss the first two games of next season. It doesn't matter.
The irony here is that in the three games refereed by Chris Rooney and Gord Dwyer, the Blues have had more power play opportunities than the Bruins. In the three games that Kelly Sutherland's group has officiated, the Bruins have had more power play opportunities than the Blues. So you look at it, you look at the raw numbers and you say, oh, well, you want Sutherland in there. No, thank you. I want Chris Rooney and Gord Dwyer.
Right.
The best compliment I can give them after game six was I didn't even notice them.
No.
Now, I didn't agree with every call they made. The interference penalty on Chara was ridiculous. He's in a battle with a guy at the side of the net. Both guys going after each other.
Stupid.
The power play for St. Louis on that was, in my opinion, dumb. But they didn't do anything egregious. You know, missing the slew foot trip on Nola Chari when you're looking right at it.
Right.
Yeah, you know what? I think I'll let that go.
Barbashev got suspended for a game. And
that
he didn't get a penalty.
So,
I mean, that's what we're dealing with. That's what you're talking about. And let's face it, if the Bruins miss a chance on a power play, that is really hurting a scoring opportunity. If the Blues miss out on a power play, They're like the 2011 Bruins. They probably don't even want the power play. They're so bad on the power play that they allowed a shorthanded goal, and they've only scored once. Right? They've only allowed one shorthanded goal, I believe. So they're awash on the power play.
Yep.
Like that. So they would rather play 5-on-5. So they're hoping that you miss the calls, and they're not even begging to get calls. Whereas the Bruins, and they did show some life 5-on-5 this last game, scoring 3 goals, 4 if you count the empty netter. But the power play, if they get a couple of chances, that is plays right into their favor, and that might be the difference in the game.
5 times in the history of the National Hockey League has a player from the losing team been awarded the Conn Smythe Trophy as playoff MVP.
Could happen again.
Ron Hextall, Jean-Sebastien Giguère were among those who, just before the winning team got to hoist the cup, you got to skate over and get handed the Conn Smythe, which has got to be the worst feeling on the planet. The reason I bring it up is Pierre LeBrun writes about this on The Athletic today, and he quotes Ron Hextall as saying that no matter what happens in tomorrow night's game, he thinks Tuukka Rask should win the Conn Smythe. Hextall said, quote, right now I think he's probably the most deserving guy, win or lose. Now remember,
he was listening to the show yesterday.
Maybe. Remember now, the Conn Smythe is not a Stanley Cup final MVP.
Yeah, it's not like the NBA.
It is a 2-month period. From the start of the playoffs until the last game of the Stanley Cup final. And there has been no player in the NHL who's been better than Tuukka Rask over that span.
Yeah, not even close. The best goals against, best save percentage. Obviously, right now, tied for the most wins with Binnington, and that would obviously be the one thing that changes. But he has been the best player throughout for the Bruins.
Yes.
And it really picked up. That Game 7 performance against the Maple Leafs really started to turn things around. Then he outplayed Sergei Bobrovsky, even though it was very close the first couple games of the series. He outplayed him. Carolina, they just rolled through. And then even in this series, he's been fantastic. Like, the games that they have lost have not been because of Tuukka Rask, whereas the games that the Blues have lost, I wouldn't say it's entirely Binnington's fault, but he's been a big part of it. He got hooked in one of them, and then this last game, he's allowing soft goals. So Tuukka Rask, I think outside of Ryan O'Reilly, who has 21 points so far in the postseason, outside of O'Reilly having like a 4-point game in a win, and even then, I think Tuukka's still going to get a lot of votes.
So the question for the head coach here, for Bruce Cassidy today, is where do I go from here? What will I do? Do I make a change from a very good showing in Game 6? Everything went the way you wanted in Game 6. Now, the final score might give you a bit of a different view, because this was a one-goal game into the third.
It was.
It wasn't the blowout that it felt at the end.
No, but I felt the way Tuukka was playing, as soon as it was 2-0, I didn't have any doubt that they were going to win. And I just think that they kind of controlled it a little bit more. And again, Tuukka kind of bailed him out. And I think if you had a lesser goalie, then who knows? You might even lose the game, or at the very least, you're sweating it out late in the third period. I think Tuukka kind of had them in control. And seeing them score the 5-on-5, so game 3 was more of a dominant game, and just like you smoked them in game 3. But you scored 4 power play goals on 4 shots. And not that, you know, you don't get credit for those. It just seemed like this was more of a dominant, and that third period was more of a dominant performance, I thought, by the Bruins than even what we saw in game 3.
It'll be curious, because they'll meet with the media after the skate this morning, and it's a full practice. They didn't skate yesterday at all. The Black Aces go out and skate, and, you know, those extras go out. Maybe guys who weren't playing were given the opportunity to get out on the ice if they want to. But they'll have a practice today, a full practice. Zdeno Chara will be out there, and the whole group. Guys are rather liberally allowed what you call maintenance days this time of the year.
Yeah.
But my guess is, knowing that it's their last practice of the year, everybody's going to want to be out there.
Oh, I would assume so. And it's going to be tough for some of those guys, whether you're Backes, I think Grizzlick, maybe Wagner. These guys that are hoping to play probably are going to have to watch Game 7. Obviously, a big storyline throughout has been how physical / dirty the St. Louis Blues have been. Here was Blues coach Craig Berube talking about how they weren't physical enough in Game 6.
Craig, the last couple of games, you really had that forechecking pressure on them. They score first tonight. I know that changes the complexion of things. But you think they just did a better job of handling your forecheck, or did you not execute the way you hoped?
Yeah, both. I didn't think we dumped pucks in very well. I thought that we kind of put pucks to bad areas, whether we, you know, our forwards didn't soft chip it enough and get it into good areas where we could get on it and be physical enough with our forwards. I didn't think that we got in there quick enough and won enough battles on our forecheck. I thought that there was a lot of battles there, but we lost too many of them.
Somebody's going to get hurt in the game.
Absolutely.
They're going to absolutely crush somebody.
I mean, you saw how they closed out the final 2 minutes of the game in game six.
Right. Exactly. And they're going to say, you know
what? Cheap shots, cross checks, punch to the face.
It's absolutely going to happen.
All of those are reasons why, if I were in Bruce Cassidy's shoes, I would not insert Matt Grizzly tomorrow.
I don't think so, because they're going to go right after him. And again, a 5'9 target, a lot easier to even hide it. Like, you might be able to take him out in the way the officiating has been throughout the entire postseason. You might even get away with it. And now you're down to 5 defensemen, and that has not been a good recipe for them this series.
One of the Tuca haters did check in on the text line. Says, not a chance Rask wins if the Bruins lose. O'Reilly for sure. Tuca didn't outplay the Columbus goalie. The Columbus forwards suck.
No, he did. He outplayed
He's
them.
Got the best numbers in the league.
He outplayed Bobrovsky.
He's got the best goals against average, the best save percentage.
And the Columbus forwards are better than the Carolina forwards, and they might even be better than the St. Louis forwards.
Probably.
Like Panarin and Duchesne, these guys are pretty good.
We had another Tuca hater who said, look, I'm a Tuca hater, but he says, I think he deserves it. Even if he blows tomorrow, it's his series to lose. He got us here.
I mean, again, as long as it's not a game where, you know, he gets pulled, right? Like, it would have to be an extreme type of thing, I think, for Tuca and for O'Reilly. Because O'Reilly has got to be the best candidate for them. Going into the series, Binnington was on the short list, too.
Yep.
Like, if you're talking about Conn Smythe guys, he was probably top three or four. But I think he's played his way off of that list. And O'Reilly's been even better. So it's probably a two-man race. And who votes on this?
The writers.
So some of them might just have a hard time voting for someone on the losing side.
And although we said it's happened five times.
It has.
In the history of the league, we mentioned a couple of goaltenders.
Yeah.
Ron Hextall got it in a losing effort. Jean-Sebastien Giguère got it in a losing effort. It's probably, you know, the award you least want to get.
Yeah, he might not even go skate over there and get it. He might just say, we don't want you to mail that home. You know, I'm good. Because then you're sitting there in the locker room. You just lost. Ugh. Everybody's a mess, and you're holding this stupid trophy. Like, oh, look at me. Guys, I was the best. I want to let down everybody else's. I was the best player in the playoffs, and you guys couldn't win it for me.
You guys screwed it up.
You guys screwed it.
My guess is he would leave it for somebody else to bring back, you know, when they get around to it.
Yeah. You're like, no thanks.
He's not lugging that thing back.
No.
Look, I said it's the award nobody wants to get, but I think there's the real possibility if the Bruins were to lose Game 7 tomorrow, he's going to get it anyway.
No.
And I don't think they're going to lose Game 7.
I don't either. I feel pretty good about it. I feel pretty good.
617-779-7937. Mark's in Medford. Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you?
You know I'm a Tuca hater, but I think he's going to get it, too. He freaking deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we established that the St. Louis Blues are a dirty team, without a doubt.
Right.
Okay? Now, and we know that we lost two defensemen. One was an accident with Chara.
Right.
The other one, a defenseman, was taken out. In both games, the Blues just pressed and pressed, and, you know, the 5D just couldn't shut it down. So are the Blues dirty enough? But more importantly, are they stupid enough to take out another defenseman in this game, knowing that the repercussions won't take effect till next year, like accidentally on purpose tomorrow night?
Yeah.
That's the worry I have.
100% they would.
Which is why I would hesitate to put Grizzlick back in.
Because he's the most vulnerable.
Right.
I agree, Dale. Right. I'd say go with Moore anyway. He blocks more shots. He had a great game in the last game.
He did.
Great game.
And I'm not knocking John Moore when I say this. Don't you sort of feel like you got the best game you're ever going to see out of John Moore in this scenario?
Yeah, maybe. If Grizzly wasn't coming back from a concussion,
I agree on that, too. I agree, but I think he's got one more in him. And I have a funny feeling Patrice Bergeron saving the best for last, guys.
Could be.
Have a good one.
Could be. Yeah, because he was pretty quiet last game. You know, there's a lot of really good performances from everybody. But Bergeron, he lost more faceoffs than he won. He was a minus one. Like, for the team that played so
well,
they
won 5-1. Series in the faceoff circle all around.
Yeah. Well, the Blue, Ryan O'Reilly, like, doesn't lose faceoffs. And the Blues have kind of dominated in that regard. Yeah, we didn't even get into that after it was a game 5 where they just got absolutely abused on the faceoff circle. So, yeah, I wouldn't rule out Bergeron having a couple of, you know, even a couple of goals, the game winner or whatever tomorrow night.
This is, in this entire series, tomorrow night is when that experience factor, I think, means the most.
Yeah.
When you've got all these guys on the Bruins who have now played in three Stanley Cup final series. You know, you've got Chara and Krejci and Bergeron and Marchand. And Tuukka Rask has been there for three, even though he's only played in two. But the experience factor for those guys, you've only got a couple of guys who can say that for the Blues. And one of those guys got benched last year in the final by Coach Gerard Gallant of the Vegas Golden Knights.
Now, do you think that there's more pressure on the Bruins because they're at home and they're the better team? Or is it the Blues because they already had one chance to win it and they blew that?
I think the pressure's on the Bruins.
So do I. I think when you're the better team, and I think it's sort of
you're supposed
to win. The home team, too, I think it tips in that scale anyway. And so they are supposed to win. But again, if you're the – I mean, St. Louis has never won a cup, and they had it right there on their home ice, and they blew it. And how do they respond? And to their credit, they have bounced back well throughout the playoffs after bad losses.
To give you an idea of what the fervor is like in St. Louis right now, of course, the Blues are here. So they opened up the Enterprise Center, sold seats in the Enterprise Center, and supposedly banged it out for a watch party. So they then opened up the Cardinals Stadium.
What? And so you're going to go to a baseball stadium to watch the hockey game on a jumbo screen?
I don't know how many people, you know, they did this
miserable.
Because they blasted out the Enterprise Center.
Like, unless you have a jumbo screen like the one they have in Cowboy Stadium, I don't know why on earth you'd want to go.
Just to be around other people when they, you know, when they win, that
sort
of thing.
Invite them to your house or go to a bar. Can you imagine watching the Bruins at Fenway? Like, would you go sit in those seats and watch on that screen?
Well, please. Fenway's occupied, but they did, I noticed, open up Warrior Arena.
Yeah, that's
for fans who can't get in, and there's going to be a lot of you who can't afford to get in.
$25,000?
I don't think it costs anything.
Oh, you just come on.
Now, they have refreshments available to purchase, is what I read.
It's not open bar? Come on.
Can you imagine
that?
Live
a little. It's the cup. Come on.
That might be a little crazy.
I don't like that. Why would you want to do that?
Be around the fans.
Well, they don't even
the
have
fans. Invite a friend over.
No, you want to be amongst all the fans.
Do like I? I hate big groups of people.
Well, maybe not you.
I don't want to do that.
Maybe someone listening right now.
I'm going to watch the game in my Dragon's Lair.
But some people like to be in the crowd.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like Toronto. Like
why?
Toronto. You saw they
that
were in Toronto
miserable.
Last night. But I mean, it was raining. But they were in Toronto. They couldn't get tickets. You go out there. I did that once for a Red Sox playoff game, Red Sox Yankees, when Pedro Martinez tossed what's his face there across the
Don
entire.
Zimmer?
Yeah,
Zim?
Don Zimmer. I was outside of that stadium that game.
You were outside the stadium.
Yep, watching through a TV. There wasn't even a bar. I wasn't even old enough to be in a bar. I don't think.
What's the matter with you?
There's excitement. It's fun.
There's
listen,
excitement.
Game 7.
Watch the game at home.
There will be. I'll tell you this. There will be a ton of people outside the Garden tomorrow night.
No, I know.
And there won't even be big screens there. But there will be a ton of people who just want to be there.
Well, and you hope
if
they
win
more
what it's
so.
Going to be like outside, it's going to be bedlam.
So they don't, you know, tear down street signs.
That would be good.
If they lose, it could get kind of ugly. But I know there's been a lot of winning
here. You hope
here.
Not, but
hope
it not. Probably would.
I think there's a chance. It only takes a couple of bad eggs.
And craft beers.
Well, we're going to have plenty of those tomorrow.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. An hour from now, not only will we have Kiefer Madness, we'll have your first opportunity.
No, we're doing it now, Dale.
Oh, now?
Dale, people got to listen to the trendings because you never know what's going to happen in the trendings. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, no more need be said then because we're going to trend.
The game changer is Zdeno Chara. And why would I say that? Because he treats everybody equal. And in today's world, it's obviously in vogue to treat people equal. The culture is so strong there, Tony. There's no rookies. There's nobody below anybody else. It truly is a family atmosphere. And that is one of the keys as to how you make it this deep into the playoffs. Like I said, though, the Blues, they also have a lot of similar attributes.
Come Wednesday night, Zdeno Chara will play in his 14th Game 7 in playoff history. No one's ever played in more. Patrick Waugh and Scott Stevens, 13 each. How much will that experience matter? We'll find out here in Boston.
That was the NHL Network. Brian Lawton was the first voice you heard, and they were talking about, you know, the experience factor. The Bruins are on the ice at the Garden even as we speak. Chris Wagner is out there in a normal, everyday contact jersey. It is his first full practice with his team since he got injured. Matt Grzelcyk is on the ice and is still in a red non-contact jersey.
This guy just can't shake it.
Well, and that's the one thing we've learned about concussions is you just have no idea what the timeline is. I don't even know, you know, the precise exact way you have to pass the concussion protocol, what you have to do and all that. But he is in a red non-contact jersey as they're on the ice right now at the Garden.
Yeah, so, I mean, and neither you nor I want him to play. And it sucks for him. He was a big part of the team this year. He was a big part of the playoff run this year. But he just, he goes down early in game two, hasn't been able to shake this concussion. It happened 2 weeks ago tomorrow. And I think because John Moore played so well, the whole defense group played so well last game, that I'd be more than confident trotting that same six guys back for this game.
Yeah, here's the problem is that this has been such a nasty series to begin with. The Blues have absolutely no compunction about trying to hurt people, literally trying to hurt people. They've already become the first team in NHL history to have more than one player suspended during the Stanley Cup final. You think they're going to hesitate for a minute? Grizzly Cup against the boards?
No.
Playing the puck or even not playing the puck?
And they get a bunch of guys, too, that, you know, because Barbashev's going to be back from his suspension. Sundqvist has been back from his. They have a bunch of guys that they don't even mind if they if they do that. And even if they get run from the game, which, again, now you're putting a lot of pressure on these officials. They don't want to call many penalties. They don't want to call very many minor penalties in a Game 7. You think they're going to be throwing around majors in a Game 7? I doubt it. So they're really going to force their hands.
Paul Stewart told us, former NHL referee Paul Stewart told us, that the tripping call that was missed against Nola Chari probably could have and should have been a five-minute major for Slewfoot in a game misconduct.
Yeah.
The hit against Matt Grizzlick that put him ultimately out of the lineup should have been a five-minute major.
Right. How about the elbow to Johansson, which was suspendable? I mean, there are all these different things, and I can't imagine that the Blues aren't going to try to do this because they need to play this way. This is sort of like the late 90s, like Nixon Heat. Like when they would play, they couldn't outskill you, so they would just foul you every time and hope that you didn't call it. Or like the old school Detroit Pistons. Like this is how you would play because you look around and you're like, well, we don't have as much skill as all these teams. All the teams they beat in the West probably had more skill than them, but they would just, they'd be willing to kind of cross the line and play this way.
So they're on the ice at the Garden. When they meet with the media after, you know, we'll give you all the information as best we can. Let me just very quickly, and then we'll get right back to the calls. Tiffany Ortiz has just released the following statement through the Red Sox.
Okay.
Tiffany Ortiz wrote, quote, David arrived at Massachusetts General Hospital last night and underwent a successful second surgery. He's stable, awake, and resting comfortably this morning in the ICU, where he is expected to remain for the next several days. On behalf of me and my family, I want to thank John and Linda Henry, Tom Werner, Sam Kennedy, and the Boston Red Sox for all that they are doing for David and our family, as well as Dr. Larry Ronan and the amazing staff at Massachusetts General Hospital. Lastly, I want to thank everyone for the outpouring of support and love that we have received during this incredibly difficult time. We ask for privacy as David works towards recovery, unquote.
Yeah, because I don't know if you've gotten a whole lot of privacy in some of these reports that have come out. You know, the Daily Mail
yesterday was the first. There are videos all over social media.
And you don't really know what to believe. And obviously one of the reports out there is that, you know, a drug lord in the Dominican Republic, his wife was having an affair with Ortiz. And so he hired these two guys basically to kill Ortiz because of that.
Right.
But we don't even know if that's true. And like I don't know what the track record is of the Daily Mail. I feel like they've definitely gotten some things wrong in the past.
It's like 50-50.
I think it honestly is. Like it's not like if TMZ reported it, you're like, oh, that's probably true. They got real sources. Daily Mail throws some stuff out there. But was the New York Times or New York Post also had something kind of similar to that? So we don't know. But that was one of the weird things yesterday when we were going through it and you watch the video, like the surveillance video, they said robbery attempt for a while. And I think we can all cross that thing off. It is not that. So you're like, what other kind of motive is there? And so that could be what it is. But obviously the good news is Ortiz is recovering and he's here. Because think about it. If there's a hit on him in the Dominican Republic, just staying there even longer, even if you're in the hospital, that's not going to stop some of these guys.
Yeah.
So the fact that they were able to get him safely
out of the country,
that is the most important thing.
Okay, let's get back to the calls with you guys at 617-779-7937. Ryan's calling from Hawaii. Hey, Ryan, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. What's going on?
Not much. Warm here, but it's early.
What time is it? What time is it out there?
6.
Wow.
6 a.m.
Wow, good morning.
Good. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I will get do a real quick question and get off the line and listen to you guys. If I was a betting man, I'll preface it with this. If I was a betting man, I'd bet on Perron for this. But on the first game of the year next year with the Bruins and the Blues, who are the Bruins making sure does not make it to the end of the season playing hockey? Because they are going to kill someone.
I think not make it to the end of the season might be too fine a point on it. I'd like to see Zdeno Chara tune up David Perron in that scenario.
Yeah, I would like that as well. I don't know what Perron's contract is. Oh no, he signed a deal.
Yeah.
He re-signed with them, so I think he'll be on the team next year.
I mean, Pat Maroon has fought Zdeno Chara a couple of times in the past. He said he didn't like it. He didn't enjoy it.
Who would?
No one.
I was going to say, if David Backes, if they don't buy him out, I'm sure he'll get into a fight with somebody. Although I don't know if he'll be on the team next year. But they can cross that bridge when they get to it. But yeah, they'll be something. They'll be, and I don't even think it'll just be like an elbow or anything like that or a big check. You might get that, but regular season time, they'll actually fight. I know there's not a lot of fights, but they will actually have a real fight then.
Now, I guess the question here is, if you're the Bruins and you win tomorrow night, and by the way, you'll go through the handshake line at the end of the game, just like every other team has done.
You shouldn't. But
they will, and they'll go through it. You know, if you're Zdeno Chara and those guys, do you think, well, you know what? We got the last laugh. We're good. You guys had to sit around all summer thinking about, you know, losing the cup. Or do they, you know, that take a number?
No.
Remember.
What was Milan Lucic when he went through the handshake?
I'm going to kill you!
Yeah. I like that approach makes a lot more sense to me.
And that wasn't even a Stanley Cup final.
No, it wasn't.
John's in Charlestown. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Dale, I'm a huge fan. I'm really interested in your opinion. I heard this concept that we're the better team, in quotes. I really object to that. I'm a huge Bruins fan, okay? But honestly, through this year, I'm not interested in the regular season. I don't care. Tampa Bay is long gone. But St. Louis has come in here. They've dominated our first two lines for a start. There were two games in which we never even had a lead. They are a legitimate team. And I don't like this, we're more skilled than they are. They're playing the style that the Bruins pretty much invented, okay? And we played like that for years. And it was pretty good when we were the heavy Bruins. So it's a particular style. It's a legitimate style. And they're doing it to perfection. I think this game is in the balance. I think it could go either way. And we have to earn our victory. I really just, we're the better team. I don't buy it. Not for this game.
John.
I think St. Louis is legitimate.
John, if I asked you right now, forget about what you have to earn, all those other platitudes you threw out there, who do you think's the better team?
That's what I'm saying.
No, who do you, just give me,
who do you think is better?
Who is the better team between these two teams?
The team that wins on Wednesday.
Stop it, John.
Fun.
Come on.
We're going to go. We're going to take a stance.
Why do we play sports?
So take a stance.
Yeah, it's talk radio, though. You don't have to wait until Wednesday. Who do you think's better now?
So why are you going to discount the fact that we will
win? All right, they're better. All right, useless. Useless.
Useless.
What is it, Rams?
Yeah,
get out of here. What? Who's better? The Bruins are better. Now, they haven't always played like it.
They
haven't always played like it this series. 5-on-5 has been more skewed towards the Blues, although maybe Game 6 kind of swayed it back a little bit in their favor. But who has the better goalie? Who has the better defenseman? Who has, I mean, to his point, he's right. The Bruins should have a better top 6 or maybe top 5 forwards, and it hasn't played out that way. But then the bottom 6 forwards have been better, certainly, for the Bruins. The Blues have surprised me. They're better than I thought, but they're still not better than the Bruins.
I don't think they're a better team than the Bruins right now.
No.
And I don't need to wait until Wednesday to make a determination. I can have an opinion now.
What are we doing?
And by the way,
let's just stop and then we'll pick this up Thursday morning.
Yes, I understand completely that St. Louis could win the Stanley Cup here on Wednesday night. That doesn't mean that I can't give an opinion now that I think the Bruins are the better team. The St. Louis Blues have won a game in overtime and a 2-1 game. And let's just fairly safely say that there were some questionable things officiating-wise that went on in those games.
Well, and they also, you know, they played a game where Grizzlick played 4.5 minutes. They won a game where Chara played whatever that was. You know, he missed 2 periods. So, and again, I know that's hockey, that's part of it. But if you just look at the 6 games, obviously the wins are the same. But who do you think's better? Who do you has a better chance on Wednesday? I think it's the Bruins.
Justin's in Rhode Island. Hey, Justin.
Hey, guys, just a couple quick points. I think Berube, you know, he's been vocal this entire series, but I think his comments yesterday about being more physical and how they kind of upheld a lot of the physical contact in Game 6 because they didn't want to get suspended, I think that's going to be a detriment going into Game 7. I don't know why you would put that kind of light on your players going into Game 7, because what it does is now the refs are going to look at it and say, all right, well, now we're definitely going to be looking. And, you know, the minute they get their first penalty for that, they're going to be like, all right, this is Game 7. We can't be doing this, you know. And then my other point is, it seems, you know, like St. Louis, their defense are great east to west. But then it doesn't make a dummy to say, then go north and south. Use the speed game. What they need to do with their breakout passes is be quick, because obviously they're going to come in and forecheck and hit. Make a quick D-to-D pass and have a quick breakout, and you already have a guy stuck in their zone now. Like, I just feel like, I think, like, yeah, the Bruins are the better team, going back to the last caller. Like, he wants to say it, but I understand why he doesn't want to at the same time. But they're fast, and you have to use that. You have to use the breakout effectively. And I think if you hem their defense in, all their defense is 6'5" and like over 200 pounds. Hem them in, make them work, cycle the puck around. It's basic, you know, basic hockey. And I kind of hope they dumb it down to that point tomorrow. And I think they'll be all right.
And to your point, I think Craig Berube has correctly identified how the Blues have to play to have a chance to win. They were not as skilled as the San Jose Sharks, but they knew this is how we have to win. We have to be more physical, over-the-top physical. If we hurt guys, so be it. You know, and they did in the San Jose series. Oh, yeah. And they did in this series. Char doesn't count. That was a fluke. I understand that.
Right.
They put Matt Grzelcyk out of the series with this, at least until going into Game 7. They've decided this is the only chance we have to win. And they're playing it, to their credit, they're playing it really well most of the time. Doesn't mean I think they're a better team.
I don't.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We've got another chance for you to qualify to win Game 7 tickets for the game on Wednesday night at the Garden. We've got Kiefer Madness coming up next hour as well. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI. Is the telephone number. A couple of quick notes, this courtesy of Boston Sports Info, that Twitter site that we reference from time to time. They've come up with some interesting information. NHL goalies, all-time saves leader, save percentage in the playoffs, minimum of 50 games. Number one is Tim Thomas, 933.
Pretty good.
Number two is Tuukka Rask at 928. Zdeno Chara already the oldest defenseman to win a game in the Stanley Cup final since it became a best of seven in 1938-39.
Mm. How about that?
And a couple of Game 7 fun facts. There have been 16 Stanley Cup final Game 7s. The team that scores first is 11-5.
Well, it's not as drastic as some of the stats were earlier in this playoffs for some of the teams.
If you're leading after the first,
yeah,
you're 8-3. Okay. 727 save percentage. If you're leading after the second, you're 12-1, a 923 save percentage.
So only one team ever in a Game 7 has come back from after trailing the first two periods.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And then, so Daniel Char is going to play in his 14th career Game 7.
Yes.
So he is currently 6-7. Now, two of those losses came with Ottawa. So it was like forever ago,
yep,
if you think about that. But so he has had a mixed bag, obviously, in Game 7s. The team had won this year in the first round, but so he has more experience than anybody in these Game 7s.
As we speak, the Bruins are on the ice at the Garden for what is their final practice of the season. They will hold a game day skate tomorrow, which is optional. Tuukka always skates in these things. The entire playoffs, he's been out there on the day of game skate every single time. You'll have some players who will be out there. You'll have some other guys who won't. But today is the last practice of the season for the Bruins. And I got to say that I think if you had said to a Bruins fan back in October, you know, we're going to get you to June 11th.
No.
And you're still going to be playing hockey. They would have taken it and run.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you just go back to how dominant the Tampa Bay Lightning were this year. Like, they were, what everybody said, the Golden State Warriors of hockey. You had to play them in the second round. Or did you? They get bounced out quick, and then it just opened it up. I mean, they could not have had a better path to the Stanley Cup final, and to this point, they're making the most of it.
It would appear that Matt Grizzlick will probably not be cleared. You know, this possibility that was thrown out there by Bruce Cassidy that, you know, Grizzlick could be a wild card for Game 7. While they're on the ice right now, he's in a red non-contact jersey. Theoretically, he could clear the protocol afternoon. He could clear the protocol tomorrow.
Like, you can't put any timetables on concussions. Like, you just can't. Everybody's are different. Not just the degree of concussion, but just who suffers the concussion, how you respond to it. Because they had to think, and he had to think, that he was going to be cleared and ready to go. And then this thing keeps getting pushed back. And think about it, with 2 days in between games, I mean, it's been a while, and yet still he's not ready to go. And that is just, it's too bad, because he had been a big part of the team all year, and now he's going to miss, I would expect anyway, miss Game 7 of the Cup Final.
Based on the lines and defense pairs for the final practice of the season, the players who would be scratched for tomorrow night's game, based on that, would be Backes, Wagner, Grizzlick, and Kampfer.
Makes sense.
In other words, the same lineup that you went to the ice with Game 6 in St. Louis, everybody would be the same. At least as it stands right now,
right.
Practice at the Garden, that's what they're going with.
So, I mean, that makes sense to me. Why change anything? You know, you played that well. Everybody was good. You scored a goal on the power play. Your penalty kill was great. You were good 5-on-5. It was a must-win game then, just like it's a must-win game here. I don't know why you'd want to mess with it.
And I don't think they will. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Not only do we have Kiefer Madness at the bottom of the next hour, we have another opportunity.
Oh, this is huge.
For you to qualify to win two tickets to Game 7 tomorrow night. The highest priced ticket, supposedly, in Boston sports history.
Wow.
I mean, we've got two tickets.
I think we should give away one ticket to one person, one ticket to another, and then they have to be friends for the night. You have to go to the
game. For life. They have to be friends forever.
And you have to be best friends forever. You have to invite that person to all of your family functions and hang out with them forever.
Seems to put an awful lot of pressure on them, doesn't it?
A little bit. Or maybe we even match up a couple. Maybe a woman or a guy or whatever, and we get them together, and then they're like, how'd you guys meet? And we're like, well, tell you what. We won tickets to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final.
Just to remind people, the highest ticket, the best ticket available for tomorrow, if you were to buy it on StubHub right now, $39,000.
What is wrong with people? Someone's going to buy that.
We're giving away just about $80,000 worth of tickets. 3 EI.
Now, that gives you an idea, by the way.
Are we sure we want to give these out? We might want to hang on to these.
It probably gives you an idea of God's way of saying you've got too much disposable income.
Yeah. 39.
Because even if I could afford $39,000 for tickets, as big a Bruins fan as I might be.
No, I'm watching it at home.
Yeah, I would not be.
In the comfort of my own house.
I can't confirm that there has been a $7,000 ticket purchase based on what I saw yesterday to now. A single ticket for $7,000 has been purchased.
Well, that's not surprising.
Yesterday we were down at...
You just said $39,000 and now you're like, guys, hold on to your socks, but $7,000?
Because that's like a ridiculous amount. But so would you see yourself spending $7,000 on a single ticket?
No, on anything. I wouldn't spend $7,000 on anything.
Yesterday at Kirkbray, the young lady who was the bartender over to our left there, very nice young lady.
Yes, she was.
And I went over to get a glass of water at one point, and she was telling me the story. She said, I told my boyfriend...
Brag.
That we can ditch the wedding.
Oh, I didn't know what you were saying.
Go to City Hall, just get married, if we get tickets for the seventh game of the Stanley Cup Final.
Mm.
And he texted her. Well, he texted her a ticket link that showed the ticket was $10,000. She said, you know what, maybe we'll just do the wedding.
Yeah, I don't like this, yeah.
Maybe we'll just do the wedding
instead.
Yeah, I
think you'd have buyer's remorse. I think you would.
Yeah, probably.
On the wedding.
Not on that. No, Come on, Rich.
Boston, a city synonymous with championships.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.